above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified and laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what
Please be seated. Well, I hope all of you silently are praying that the sky remains gray but does not rain, because that will not only cut our service short, but it will severely damage our equipment. So let's keep praying. And also a very good note, it appears that one of our brothers has received the blessing of becoming a grandfather. and he will be here shortly. Glenn's son and daughter-in-law have given birth to their first child. And so when he comes, please congratulate him. Well, over the past 6 years that we have gathered, I have mentioned the process and function of baptism many times. And I'm speaking about this today because we are here by Mayim Chayim, living waters, the ideal place for a mikveh or a messianic baptism. Well, to do this study justice, I'm going to be delving into the scripture from both the Hebrew and apostolic scriptures. I do understand that this will not be a new understanding for some of you, and for others this may be a mind-bending experience. I truly hope you will come to this moment with an open mind and a teachable heart. Prayer may be appropriate for us now. Abba Father, we know how you move in mysterious ways. Please help us maintain our teachable hearts and open minds as we listen to your word and hear your instructions for our new lives in you. In your precious name we pray. When I first came to faith, I believed baptism was a Christian invention. That is, it was created by John the Baptist as a way of initiating new believers into Christianity. As a Jew, I firmly believed this was not part of Judaism. How wrong I was. As I delved deeper into Hebraic practice, particularly as this practice related to Scripture, my discoveries blew me away. I discovered that baptism was indeed a Hebraic practice, right from the time of Moses. But let's get back to basics. What is baptism? The original intent of baptism, as commanded by Jehovah, was a purification process whenever someone became unclean. We find this outlined for us in Leviticus 15. Here, Jehovah spells out for us in quite some detail how we are to purify ourselves in the event we have any bodily discharge. This may seem curious to us in this physical world of the 21st century. However, in Jehovah's eyes, there is no separation between the physical and the spiritual. They are intimately intertwined. Let's just read a small portion of these life instructions. From verse 2 we read, "When any man has a discharge from his body, he is unclean." And from verse 16, "When a man has an emission of semen, he is to bathe himself completely with water, and he will remain unclean until evening." I find this instruction curious. Is it telling us intercourse is wrong? How can anything that results in new life being formed be wrong? Knowing our great and wonderful Abba does not make mistakes, why would this be presumed to be wrong and dirty, as some believe? Well, nothing could be further from the truth. In Hebraic thought and practice, sexual intercourse within marriage is one of the holiest activities of mankind, because it emulates the activity of Jehovah, creation. Indeed, it is commanded for husband and wife to come together and procreate. However, this is a tangent, so let's get back to the main issue. In Messianic thought, the act of purification via water is called mikveh, which is literally translated as collection of waters and means immersion. The mikveh pool must be deep enough to allow the immersed to curl into a ball and be totally covered with water. We are looking then at a depth of at least 4 feet. The water of the mikveh is called Mayim Chayim, or living water. That is, water which is flowing in and flowing out. Rivers, lakes, and oceans are themselves natural mikvot, the plural of a mikveh. Why flowing water? In Messianic thought, the belief the water for the purification process must symbolize Jehovah's cleansing power, as in effect, Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Thus the impurities are swept away, never to be seen again. If the water is still, that is not flowing, it is considered mayim mitom, dead waters, and will not symbolize purification, but putrefaction. In traditional Judaism, when a Gentile wishes to convert, she or he goes through a mikvah ceremony following a year of study and practice. A rabbi will be present, but will not touch the individual. The role of the rabbi is to function as a witness to the process. This is the interesting part of mikvah, or ceremonial immersion, in that to assist someone being immersed is to impose works righteousness upon them. Immersion symbolizes a dramatic and life-altering change of heart. It symbolizes a death to the old and the birth of the new. Let's walk through the process. When I walk into a mikveh or immersion pool, I lower myself into a completely different environment to the one in which I normally live. In this new environment, water, I would normally be dead if I remain there, fully immersed, for more than a few seconds or a minute or two at the latest. In my case, probably more than 15 seconds. The purpose of the immersion, then, is to symbolize death of one's old nature. There is no stronger example of this than Naaman, the Syrian general who had leprosy. He came to Elisha, the prophet. We read of this in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man in his master's sight, and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a brave warrior, but he had a skin disease. When Elisha heard of his condition and his willingness to be cured, he responded by sending his messenger, who said, "Go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be clean." Oh, how the sin of pride can drive us away from Jehovah's ways. Listen to Naaman's thoughts upon hearing of Elisha's remedy. "I was telling myself, he will surely come out, stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God, and will wave his hand over the spot and cure the skin disease. He left for Syria in a rage, but was advised by one of his trusted servants, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when he tells you, wash and be clean?'" Fortunately, Naaman's faith in the God of Israel was greater than his pride. It seems, for he followed Elijah's direction and was immediately cleansed. He then left for Syria with a clean body and a changed heart. Now, let's return to the process. Once in the water, I will curl into a ball, symbolic of the fetal position, and immediately come out of the water. What has happened here? In spiritual terms, I have died to my own nature and have been reborn into the nature of God. Indeed, following the converts emerging from the waters, the rabbis declare, "The Gentile is dead, the Jew is born." Over time, this became known as born again Jew. While ago, I shared with you the interchange between Adonai Yeshua and Nicodemus, the priest, the Pharisee, and member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish High Court. This story bears repeating here. It may be found in John 3. Nicodemus came to Adonai Yeshua in the dead of night, sometime after midnight. They met in a dark alleyway so as not to be seen by others. It would not do for a member of the Sanhedrin, the highest court of the Jewish people, to be seen with this new prophet, who challenged the Pharisees so fiercely. Nicodemus said to Messiah, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one could perform these signs you do unless God were with him." Here Nicodemus accepts Adonai Yeshua as a renowned teacher, anointed by God, but not as the Messiah. Listen to Adonai Yeshua's response, which seems very much a non sequitur. "I assure you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now Nicodemus was not a stupid man. He was a skilled rabbi in his own right. Why did he not seem to know what Adonai Yeshua was saying? He responded to Adonai Yeshua's comment with, "But how can anyone be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" Here Nicodemus is saying, "I am already Jewish. Why do I have to become Jewish again?" And then the Messiah told him, "I assure you, Unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of Elohim. Unfortunately, this statement has often been translated to read, "You cannot be saved unless you have been baptized." This is not what Adonai Yeshua is saying. He has already told us in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you will all perish as well." Our Master is telling Nicodemus that he must display his obedience through being joined with the community of believers and receive the anointing of Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living God. Now once more, let's return to the mikveh process. I have immersed myself into the living waters of the mikveh without assistance, in order that this be seen as totally voluntary and independent of others. Why is this important? The decision to accept Adonai Yeshua's invitation to join his heart in becoming his brother or sister is voluntary. This is an act of free will. I must enter the mikveh of my own volition and immerse myself totally so as to symbolize my desire to be purified in him and not to be seen to have been influenced, coerced, or intimidated by another human being. In death, no human being can lay hold of me and pull me to the other side. Only Adonai Yeshua may do that. No human being can raise me to life again. That can be done only by Adonai Yeshua, our great and magnificent Jehovah. Thus, when another person pushes me down into the water and pulls me back up, unless there is a security issue, he is interfering with my immersion, and it indeed may be violated. I realize this is a strong statement, but it is biblical. The act of immersion or baptism must be conducted independently of another human being, or it violates God's gift of grace by becoming works righteousness. When Adonai Yeshua walked into the Jordan River, he immersed himself into the water in the traditions of his fathers. John the immerser did not assist him. So it is interesting then what Adonai Yeshua meant when he said in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." When I was young in my walk, I found it confusing that Adonai Yeshua had to be baptized. He was sinless. He was perfect. Therefore, he was in a perpetual state of purification. Why did he need to be immersed? There are two possible explanations for this event. Let's examine them both. The first explanation lies in the rites of priests as they entered the temple priesthood. As outlined in Leviticus 16, before Aaron, the first temple high priest, could perform his duties, he needed to bathe his body with water before he put on his priestly robe, as we read in verse 4. Is there something in this rite Yeshua needed to fulfill? Let's go back to Matthew 3, verse 14, when Adonai Yeshua says to John the Baptist, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." What righteousness was he speaking about? You may recall our Lord and Messiah is the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. We are informed in Psalm 110, verse 4, "Forever you are a priest like Melchizedek." And in Hebrews 6, verse 20, we read, "Yeshua has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner, because he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." The act of ceremoniously purifying himself and committing himself to his father's ministry was a righteous act, displaying to all those who witnessed, "He is the high priest, now prepared to do the work of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty." This was accomplished at about the age of 30, the age when temple priests and current-day rabbis begin their official duties. The second reason may be a little more biblically based. Adonai Yeshua's mikveh ceremony was prophesied 700 years earlier by the prophet Isaiah, who said in chapter 11:2, "The Spirit of Jehovah will rest on him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of Adonai." And we read in Isaiah 42:1, "This is my servant, I strengthen him. This is my chosen one, I delight in him. I have put my spirit on him." Both these prophecies needed to be fulfilled. However, there exists a possible third purpose for his baptism. We are all created in the image of our holy God. We are his image bearers. Adonai Yeshua, the incarnation of Jehovah himself, is our mediator before God, as we read in Hebrews 12:24. His being baptized and received the Holy Spirit became a witness for all of us. He identified with us. This was part of the custom of first century Israel. Whenever a man or woman left their home and moved to another community, as in the case of marriage, they would need to enter a mikveh in order to identify with the new community. Adonai Yeshua left the community of his birth, where he functioned as a carpenter, and entered a new community, a community of the Spirit. Thus, to display his understanding of Israel culture and to identify with those who had recently turned to Torah through the work of John the Immerser, Adonai Yeshua was baptized. Now to the question asked earlier, why did he send his disciples two by two to the nations? This was done in order to bring others into the community of believers. All of us, before we were saved, before we were redeemed, were members of the community of flesh, the community of sin. When we repented of our sins and returned to Jehovah's instructions for our lives, he brought us into his community. We are now part of his family. As such, we have been called to signify our allegiance to our new family, our new community of those who believe in Adonai Yeshua as our Messiah and Lord. Baptism is not obligatory in order to be saved. It is a purification process, signaling to both God and man that we are in obedience to him who redeemed us, who ransomed us with his blood. Praise be the name of our mighty Messiah.
And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your words. Lord God Almighty, just and true, are your ways, Lord, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your words, Lord God Almighty. fear.